Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
The Love Food Podcast is brought to you in partnership with my PCOS and Food Peace course. Finally, free yourself from endless PCOS fatigue, frustration, shame, and guilt. For PCOS sufferers who are tired of ineffective diets and unhelpful advice, join me on a PCOS and Food Peace journey that will change your life forever. Grab all the details at PCOSandFoodPeace.com. Say goodbye to the food police and hello to peace. Welcome to the Love Food Podcast, hosted by dietitian and food behavior expert, Julie Duffy Dillon. This authentically engineered series is in the form of a love letter welcoming you to reconnect with food. Now pour a cup of coffee or a margarita and let's begin. Hi, and welcome to episode 252 of the Love Food Podcast. I'm Julie Duffy Dillon, registered dietitian and partner on your food peace journey. I am so glad you're here. Thank you for connecting today. Welcome to the podcast to those of you who are new and those of you who've been around for a while. It's so great to connect again with you. Typically on the Love Food Podcast, I go through a letter from a listener just like you who has a complicated relationship with food and is looking for a different way to move forward or move through. And today, well, I'm doing something a little different. So if this is your first time listening, just know that this is unusual and check out some other episodes or wait for one next week. That's going to be the more typical kind of format. But I really wanted to communicate some things to you about your relationship with food and some tools that many of you use to help along your food peace journey. What I'm talking about is intuitive eating. I know intuitive eating for many, many people, and maybe you, is how you first connect with rejecting diets. It's a wonderful tool, a wonderful method. I have had the pleasure of being trained and supervised at some point in the last 20 years by both of the authors, Evelyn Tribbley and Elise Rush. And it has been the foundation, and honestly, reading intuitive eating back in 2002 is what kept me a dietitian, because that's the year that I took a 2 years leave of absence from my job as a dietitian to study counseling, to become a counselor. And I was pretty sure I was going to say F off dietetics. I'm out of here, because I just didn't see how I could help people with the relationship with their body and specifically food with the tools that dietetics had given me. But then reading intuitive eating, and I think it was the second edition that I read, gave me some new options. I was still really early on, in even what rejecting diets and examining my own anti-fat bias looked like, yet it was really important. And I know it may be for you as well. There's a but here. I appreciate that many people find themselves saying, intuitive eating just doesn't work for me. Especially those of you with PCOS or polycystic ovarian syndrome. I know many people at some point just are like, meh, it doesn't work for me. So today's episode explores the top three reasons intuitive eating is not working for you. Before we get to these reasons, a quick word from our sponsor. This episode of A Love Food Podcast is brought to you by Ovofolic. What is Ovofolic? Well, I had that question too. But Ovofolic is a new to me inositol supplement. If you have PCOS and you have listened to podcasts on PCOS that I've been interviewed on, or you have done my course, you know that I talk all the time about inositol supplementation. We know that people with PCOS probably have a defect or deficiency with certain inositols, and that's what leads to insulin resistance, issues with ovulation, and higher androgen levels. Adding an inositol supplement to your PCOS regimen is something that for many people helps to improve ovulation, lower androgens, and lower insulin blood sugars, and even improve symptoms of anxiety. Recently, I jumped on the phone with Dr. Pari, one of the founders of the small company called Elon Healthcare that makes Ovofolic. She also sent me samples to try. I was so impressed with all that Elon Healthcare is doing. It's a small, women-owned and led company, not a big corporation. They love providing a personal touch. Dr. Pari responds to all customer emails herself. She also oversees every aspect of the manufacturing and the ingredients of Ovofolic. So I know not all inositol ingredients are the same. I really like knowing there's a choice in good quality inositol supplements with the recommended 40-to-1 ratio. Ovofolic has no taste or smell. I can totally vouch for that because I tried it myself. And of course, has these really high quality ingredients. Ovofolic comes in easy to carry single dose packets with, again, that 40-to-1 ratio. So you can feel rest assured that you're getting the recommended amount for the maximum therapeutic effect. So Ovofolic has a special offer for Love Food listeners. Use the coupon code FOODPEACE at checkout for 15% off. Go to elonhealthcare.ca and click on their product, Ovofolic. It's spelled O-V-O-F-O-L-I-C to learn more. Use code FOODPEACE, all one word, to get 15% off. All right, enough of all that. Let's get to this episode's letter. All right, are you ready to get to it? We are going to jump into the top three reasons why intuitive eating is not working for you. To prepare for this gentle probe, I encourage you to step back with me and get the bird's eye view of how you have been connecting to food, your body, other people's bodies, and intuitive eating as a tool. And that way, stepping way back, I'm hoping it'll give you some new insight into how you're connecting with food on your food peace journey. All right, so number one. And actually, as I say this, it's not in any particular order. It's just as the pen just flowed. But the first reason I want to share with you why intuitive eating is not working is that it is stuck in a right or wrong way. Well, what do I mean by that? Many people I have talked to over the years have said that they don't think intuitive eating works for them because they're doing it wrong. Many people tell me that they are doing it wrong, as evidenced by the presence of binging or eating outside.
Did you know that every time you listen to an ad on this podcast, you help cover the cost of producing Find Your Food Voice? Thank you to our sponsor, Equilibria Daily Women's Microbiome Defense. Because of them, my team and I can continue our independent podcast. Equilibria is a women-owned wellness brand with unique science-backed products that help bring your mind and body back into harmony. EQ's Daily Women's Microbiome Defense is a 3-in-1 capsule that supports your digestive health and promotes gut barrier protection. It also promotes optimal vaginal pH. These probiotics were chosen because they are studied for women's health. And I love that you can subscribe. So if you find that Equilibria's Daily Women's Microbiome Defense helps you, you can subscribe so you don't have to think twice about running out and also save 25% off. I just started taking the Equilibria Daily Women's Microbiome Defense after a trip overseas that made my GI tract kind of funky. I am hoping that it helps make things just a little bit easier, easing back in. And also, as a woman in midlife, I'm always looking for ways to help with vaginal pH. If you are not in midlife yet, just be aware, it's a thing that is around the corner for you. So head to myeq.com and use code FOODVOICE for 15% off Equilibria's Microbiome Defense and much more. That's myeq.com and use code FOODVOICE at checkout for 15% off site-wide today. All right, let's get back to the show.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Out of hunger, or not craving vegetables or fruit, or not exercising a certain amount per day. These are really interesting kind of notes to give yourself as you're exploring intuitive eating. And as a clinician that has sat across from people in this space, what I would call that is binary thinking, or right, wrong, black and white thinking, perfectionism, all of that goop that is really normal shit that we all experience. You know, having perfectionistic tendencies is a product of white supremacy, and we're all swimming in that all the time. And even though intuitive eating is a tool that I hope for you and for everyone else that helps to gently move away from perfectionism when it comes to food, we're still swimming in perfectionism as the standard. So of course, you're going to apply it to this as well. And this is where I see so many people get stuck. I encourage you, if you hear yourself saying, I'm doing intuitive eating wrong as evidenced by this behavior, to name that as perfectionism or some kind of black and white thinking. That is a part of the process that intuitive eating is hoping to bring to you, is a way to move away from that, like I said. So naming it in the moment for many people has been a really important healing tool. And I just want to name a few things, just for the record, okay? You can do intuitive eating and say you're doing intuitive eating. You are still intuitively eating when you're binge eating, craving fun foods, not eating vegetables, not eating fruits, not drinking lots of water, and when you're not exercising a certain amount. The amount is really moot. It doesn't matter. I would also say you are still doing intuitive eating if you're avoiding certain foods, if you are avoiding certain situations with food. You're still doing intuitive eating if you're gaining weight, if you're not gaining weight. These are all things that don't take away the process. In fact, these are all normal steps along a person's journey using intuitive eating as a tool to heal their relationship with food. Besides our world's obsession with perfection, I also see this kind of black and white thinking coming from this belief that intuitive eating is this linear process. Like, you start with principle number one, then you go to number two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine, 10. Of course, number 10 is gentle nutrition. That just seems to fuck so many people up in the process. And the thing that's really important to know is these are principles that are not meant to be done in a stepwise fashion. They're kind of like, here's a basket of ideas, and let's sift through them and you decide which ones you want to connect with now, which ones you want to connect with later, and which ones are not for you. There are so many people that will never apply most of the gentle nutrition, or maybe even all of it. And that's the best thing for them. So there's going to be parts of intuitive eating that just are not going to fit for you. Because remember, intuitive eating is a tool that also has its flaws. So it's not an absolute thing. And, you know, I can't speak for the authors, but I think they would agree with that. Certainly reading the most updated edition, that rings true. All right, so let's move on to number two. So the second reason why intuitive eating is not working for you is that weight loss is still a goal. Maybe in secret, maybe not, but intuitive eating may not be working for you because weight loss is still a goal. When I first discovered intuitive eating, it was used by people who were very much against diet culture and very much against the pursuit of weight loss. It was very clear. But this was in 2002, 2003, 2004. I remember meeting Evelyn Tribble in 2005. It was this radical, unknown type of tool. And there was no Facebook or Instagram for people to learn about it. Like, the only place you can learn about it was reading the book or talking to one of the authors, or I met Evelyn Tribble at a conference. You know, it wasn't something that was mainstream. So I think it held on to more of the principles because, like a game of telephone, it wasn't traveling through many people to get to my ears. Well, fast forward almost 20 years and voila, Instagram has fucked with it. And my colleagues, fellow dietitians, have fucked with it because all you have to do, don't do this, but all you have to do is search the hashtag intuitive eating for weight loss, and you're going to find so many people who are going to die on that hill that yes, you can use intuitive eating for weight loss. And not only is that totally contraindicated in the way the tool has been designed, because it is a healing tool, but that is incredibly harmful for you, for me, and especially for those who are fat. I'm going to go more into that in a second, but I think I really want to examine during this part why the focus on the scale or weight loss, whether it's like front and center or it's kind of lingering back in there in a hopeful kind of space. Now, this is where there's so much nuance because people will often want to be smaller and still be moving along their intuitive eating process. And it's something that's helping them to heal the relationship with food because they're holding on to that in a space of, I live in a world where thinner bodies are celebrated, given more access, and are safer. Yet that, and that's why I want to be in a smaller body. Yet if you are someone who is practicing intuitive eating and it's not working for you, and you're hoping to lose weight and haven't really paired that up with your own anti-fat bias, that's a big reason why I think it's not working for you. This is why intuitive eating, in its design, is meant to be a healing tool, not a weight loss tool. It is a healing tool. And when we use the scale as a measure of progress or anything like that, whether it's clothing sizes, measurements, any kind of like number collection, basically, then it's going to emotionally, psychologically block you from the tools that are centering healing. It's prioritizing these tangible, concrete outcomes over healing. And there's a place for the desire to lose weight because we live in a world where thinner bodies are more accepted, they are safer, they are able to access so much more. Yet if you are using this as a tool to pursue weight loss, this is where I see many people getting stuck on using the hunger fullness scale with intuitive eating, relying on that, maybe even manipulating that, like, oh, since I want to lose weight, I'm going to start eating at this number and stop eating at this number. When I'm wanting to maintain, I want to start at this number and then stop at this number. That's a really big clue that that's not how it works. That is not how it works, because that is prioritizing weight loss over healing. I am a big fan of body autonomy. It's one of my core values. So I appreciate not everyone is willing to take the scale off the table here. Not everyone's willing to do that. And my plea is just stop saying you're doing intuitive eating, especially those of you who are dietitians, therapists, or coaches who are helping people with intuitive eating and also helping with weight loss. Stop, because this is something that is confusing and harmful to not only like on the individual level, but in a societal kind of level as well. So if this speaks to you and you're not ready to stop pursuing weight loss, well, that's okay. I mean, that's where you are. And I hope one day that you come back to intuitive eating or another tool to help you on your food peace journey. Remember that so much of this is so hard, not necessarily because of you doing it wrong. It's just because of the world we live in. And the food peace journey is there for you when you're ready. Sometimes someone has to be at diet rock bottom where they just cannot pursue weight loss anymore because they're just exhausted and hurting in so much pain, physically or emotionally or both, that they can't imagine doing anything else but just not knowing what is next. That's often the kind of point where people will start their food peace journey. And so when you get back to that space, when the time comes where you're like, oh yeah, I'm at diet rock bottom, that may be next week, next month, next year, a decade from now, just know that we're here to help at that point. All right, are you ready for number three? I know I am. So number three is a really big, important one. And something that really, I don't know, just irritates me when it comes to psychology in general. Like I said earlier, I have been trained as a mental health counselor. So things like mindset and cognitive thinking, those are things that I'm really well versed in. I've studied for a long time. There is something with intuitive eating that I see ends up getting in the way. And one of the reasons why, and this is number three, one of the reasons why intuitive eating isn't working for you is that you think it's just a mindset thing, that it's just something that you need to fix in your brain in order to make it work. If you are someone that's tried intuitive eating and tried and tried and tried, but felt like, I just can't do it. And you've tried all the affirmations and the mantras, you've listened to all the podcasts, and it just doesn't seem to seep into your brain and change how you think about food. And so, intuitive eating just doesn't work for me. I'm speaking to you because I don't think you're doing it wrong. I think it's a perspective that needs to be opened up. So this is where getting that bird's eye view can be super helpful. Remember, we live in a world that has its own eating disorder. This world hasn't even acknowledged it, let alone recovered from it. It's walking around with it unchecked, and anti-fat bias is pervasive in every area of our life. We're constantly breathing it. It's a really big, heavy structure system that is not your individual burden that you can change with a mindset shift. There's no way you can change your mindset to remove this heavy burden. I hate this. I hate this so much. And this is where probably for the first 10 years using intuitive eating that I spent so much time in thinking that I could help someone just switch their mindset. And there is still something to be hopeful about when we consider how doing the work in your own food peace journey and maybe using intuitive eating to do that, how that contributes to helping the community around you. Literally, you identifying and examining your own anti-fat bias and healing your relationship with food and prioritizing that healing over weight loss is something that will contribute to less anti-fat bias in the world. It's so fucking fantastic. And that's why I don't think it's just a mindset. Maybe there's some things that you can identify in how you think about your own individual relationship with food and your body. And again, this is where we need to rally together. That's a big part of my framework, helping people with PCOS, is acknowledging that, yes, there's some things you can do on your own with your relationship with food and how you think about food, but really so much is going to change by us rallying together and helping those with less access and less privilege to be able to do the same. That's where the magic happens. And we're not there yet, but that's where you can join us and contribute to that change. Someone who dives really deep into this concept is Sonia Renee Taylor in her book, The Body is Not an Apology. She also has a kick-ass workbook that goes along with the book that I highly, highly recommend and encourage you to check out. So remember, your food peace journey is a collective experience. It's something that you are doing not in a vacuum, but rather in this larger kind of arena where we're all gathered. And it's messy, complicated, so many layers. But as you sift through your own, it's going to contribute to all of us being able to have access to food peace. So the top three, I've gone through them, but I have a little bonus, something that I just can't not acknowledge, double negative, whatever. I can't not acknowledge is that intuitive eating may not be right for you because it has its own flaws. Something that's important to name historically is that intuitive eating, the book in its first edition, had connections with the pursuit of weight loss and healthism, ableism. Like, there's lots of critiques that are super important. And so that's something that we need to acknowledge, that it may not be right for everyone because how nothing is right for everyone. There's still parts of the intuitive eating process that are individualistic and not collective. There's also a lot to be said about access to food security, to people who are living in historically marginalized bodies, how intuitive eating is just not going to be accessible. And that's a big issue. What I encourage you, if this feels like, yeah, that's my issue with it, if that feels right for you, I encourage you to gather as many tools on your food peace journey as possible. Food peace, you know, the sort of framework that I use does not rely on a tool that I invented or one person invented, or like something specific like intuitive eating, because I honor that we all have different needs and we all come from different positions in the world. So it's important to collect different tools and use what we need and continually work to build better tools so everyone can access food peace. So continue to gather more tools. And something I didn't mention is that this is where working with a dietitian, a therapist, or a coach with lived experience, especially for those of you who are in a body that has been historically marginalized, you're in a fat body, people who are experiencing the same, who've gone before and done some steps before you, is so valuable. Please know that specifically in dietetics and in counseling. Those are fields that are incredibly toxic for people who hold these historically marginalized identities. So it's so hard for people to finish these programs because they are so toxic and problematic. So when you do connect with someone who has lived experience similar to yours, so important. And so if you are someone who, yeah, like who is like, I really want to have someone who has this lived experience too, I think that's a really important thing to consider. And again, so incredibly valuable. Those of us who do not live in a body who's been historically marginalized, like that's where we need to make sure we make room for people with lived experience, because it's going to make food peace accessible for everyone then. All right. On that note, it's time to wrap up. Thank you for joining me on this top three journey. Just something I needed to get out. Let me know what you thought about this different kind of format. You can email me at lovefoodpodcast@gmail.com. There you can also send a Dear Food letter, but you can also give me feedback. What did you think about this episode? Would you like another type of top three? I'm totally game for it. And I look forward to hearing your experience. This episode of a Love Food Podcast was brought to you by Ovofolic. It's a new way to get your inositol supplement for those of you with PCOS. Would you like 15% off? Just for Love Food listeners, go to elonhealthcare.ca/discount/foodpeace. There's a link in the show notes. Remember, Elon is spelled E-L-A-N. Go to elonhealthcare.ca/discount/foodpeace. If you enjoyed this episode of a Love Food Podcast, I would love it if you took a screenshot right now and shared it on Instagram. Tag me at Food Peace Dietitian. I love connecting with listeners, so thank you. If you would like to support the Love Food Podcast, you can leave a rating, a review, subscribe, share an episode, or support one of the advertisers of the podcast. Doing any of these will help support the Love Food Podcast, help more people find the show, and I thank you in advance. All right, until next time, take care. Thank you for listening. I am Julie Duffy Dillon, and this is a Love Food Podcast. Do you want access to more Food Peace? Jump on over to my website and join my email list. There, I share exclusive content that I don't share anywhere else. Get access to these tips and strategies by going to juliedillonrd.com/sign up. And I look forward to seeing you here next week for another episode of the Love Food Podcast. Take care.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.